The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right this morning. Okay, so today we are in the third part of Higher Ground. And we started 3 weeks ago. We started looking at Higher Ground because this month it's opened us to Higher Ground, So today we are in the third part. And we are drawing our illustrations and analogies from Mount Everest. So we are looking at what Everest can teach us about elevations in God and about elevations in life, what Mount Everest can teach us. And we saw that the summit requires suffering. There's a lot that goes into climbing and attaining a higher ground. Secondly, we saw that you cannot climb alone. You cannot climb alone. And that the higher you go, the harder it is to breathe. Then number four, we explained that every step matters. Every step matters. And some, we said, quit at base camp. You will not quit at base camp in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we wrapped it up last week by explaining that the view changes everything. The view changes everything. And today we are looking at the summit. Everyone say the summit. The summit. What can we learn from Everest? Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4. Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. We saw and we have been explaining that many places in scriptures, the habitation of God is described as a mountain, a higher ground that is not on sea level. We explained that whatever we are trusting God for, it's on a higher ground. It's on a higher ground. And you will attain your higher ground in the name of Jesus. 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7. This is Paul speaking, writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Holy words, long preserved for our in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world. With open hearts, oh, let the
patient words impart. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the patient words impart.
And so it is and shall be. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This is Paul speaking. He was still alive. And he said, while alive, I've finished the race. You know, people would say, many people would say, it's only when you die that you can be sure you have finished, you know. But Paul is showing us something that is contrary here. And he's saying that you can know you are finished before you are taken. You can know that you are done before you are gone. Paul was teaching us here that we should be so mission focused that when you are done, you know you are done. I pray you will not be gone before you are done. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will not be gone before you are done. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will fulfill the numbers of your days. In the name of Jesus, you will finish your race. You will finish your race. You will finish your race in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Paul was done before he was gone. You will be done before you are gone. In the name of Jesus. From Everest, we see here the first lesson we're going to draw today from the summit of Everest is that is what they call the death zone. You see, the death zone is real. The death zone is real. At different levels of Everest, there are zones that are called death zones, and particularly the summit. And there are death zones because of how thin the air is. The oxygen is very minimal, less than 30% thereabout of what is available at, on ground level. The human body begins to shut down. No one can stay there for too long. Same thing like life. There are many zones we get to that the oxygen thins out. And, you know, and even when you get to the peak, how many people have achieved an objective and they are like, they are like, fagged out. So it's like you're running a project and you finish the project and you are exhausted. You don't have oxygen again. How many people have cooked for the whole village? By the time you finish cooking, you that you have cooked the food, no appetite to eat the food. I mean, the appetite just goes. You are exhausted. You just want to sleep. That is the summit experience. We have to ensure that when we hit the summit, we partake of the good of the land. You have to ensure that when you cook the jollof, you have to eat out of the jollof. You have to ensure that you will not cook the jollof and then it's set and then you don't have appetite. You will reach your summit. You will get to the mountaintop. And when you get to the mountaintop, you will not trade it with your health. In the name of Jesus, you will not trade it You will not trade a mountaintop with anything or anyone that is dear to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You will enjoy the mountaintop. You will have the appetite that is required to enjoy the jollof that you cooked. And so it is and shall be. In the mighty name of Jesus. 1 Peter 4:12 says to us, 1 Peter 4:12 says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. Don't be surprised. Another translation puts it this way, is that when fiery darts, when you are going through challenges, when you are going through a period where everybody is saying, or people are looking at you like, where's your God? And they are like, oh, we thought she served God. We thought he served God. God will turn every mourning into dancing in the name of Jesus. God will turn every sorrow into joy in the name of Jesus. God will turn every setback into breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. God will turn every hindrance into promotion in the name of Jesus. Faith, my brother, my sister, isn't proved in comfort, but in crisis. Faith is not proved in comfort. Faith is proved in crisis. How many people? Boy meets girl. Boy says, I love you with all my heart. You are the only cockroach in my cupboard. You are the only sugar in my tea. You are the only spice in my jollof fries, you know? And the girls, wait until crisis. That is when you will know whether you are the real cockroach in the cupboard, or you are the real sugar in the tea, or maybe there's a substitute honey somewhere. The point is that it is crisis. People say, oh, I'm a very respectful person. I only insult people when I'm upset. I'm a very respectful person. I only insult people when I'm upset. You are as respectful as you are in crisis. You are as respectful as you are in crisis. Oh, Pastor, I'm not a wife beater. I only slap her once in a while when I'm angry. But 90% of the time, ask her, I pamper her, I take her out, in fact, 99% of the time, just 1%, when I'm angry, Pastor, do you understand, I give her backhand. I'm not a wife beater. You are defined by what you manifest in crisis. You are defined. Because faith is not proved in comfort. Faith is proved in crisis. So the test of the summit is survival at the top. It's survival at the top. Many people are well behaved until they begin to make money. Do you know that? Many people are well behaved until they begin to make money. Many people are well behaved until they attain that goal. Many people are humble until they attain that top. That's where the rascal comes out. God wants you to survive the top. You will survive the top in the name of Jesus. Why? Because if you check, the God of the valley is the God of the mountain. God is present regardless of the stage you are in. When you are at the top, God is there with you. So environment are hostile. Oh yes. Have you heard? I mean, you must have heard, new level, new devil. Some environment, when you get promoted, it's like boom, 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 boom. You are hit with so many different things. And it's like new level, new devil. But guess what? In spite of the hostility, God is present. Hallelujah. Everyone say, God is present. In spite of the hostility, God is present. So that's the first thing. The death zone is real. The second thing is that oxygen is everything. Oxygen is everything. In fact, God's presence is everything. Because that is the oxygen that we need at the top, at the summit. Climbers, like we learned in part one or part two, the climbers, they carry oxygen with them. And that oxygen, the bottle of oxygen they carry is needed most at the top. It's needed most at the top. Without it, without oxygen, judgment fails. The body shuts down. Without oxygen, people begin to behave hysterically. You know, there have been stories of people that when they are at the top, they are looking at the peak. And the person began to say, oh, I want to wash the plates in my kitchen. They say, oh, guy, you're not in your kitchen, you're on Everest. They say, no. Look at the plates, I want to wash the plates. The guy is going hysterical. Oxygen. God's presence is everything. God's presence is everything. The air that you breathe, the higher you go, the more dependent on God you should be. We've learned that and we'll continue to learn it. At the top, you should depend on God 100%. People will come to trick you. You'll be surprised. Even people you think have your back will set trap for you. They'll set trap for you. They will ask you a question. Meanwhile, they know what they want to do. Evil people. They will ask you a question. They say, oh, take this spoon. Then you say, okay, fine. You check with God. God says, take it. And you took the spoon. 6 months down the line, they say to you, I thought you would not take the spoon. And you're like, really? The people that should have your back, that are setting trap for you, God will disappoint them. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oxygen. God's presence is everything. Your holy presence. Living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. Presence is everything. Everything. It is not, God's presence is not a nice to have. It is the oxygen of our being. Acts of the Apostles 17, Acts 17:28, The word of God says, in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live. Outside of him, we don't exist. Outside of him, we are vulnerable. Outside of him, we can be attacked. But in him, we live. Our life is protected. We move. In him, we have our being. So the presence of God is the believer's oxygen. The presence of God is the believer's oxygen. It's the oxygen that we need. If you cut off from God's word, you suffocate spiritually. If you cut off from God's word, you suffocate spiritually. You suffocate. And many times, you know, people are like, oh, pastor, I need strength. I'm praying for strength. Let God strengthen me. I wish I was as strong as this person. I wish I was as strong as that person. Many times, in fact, most times, it's not strength that we need. It is air that we need. It is oxygen that we need. You don't need strength. You need to breathe. You don't need more strength. You need more air. You don't need strength. You need to breathe. You need to breathe. You need to breathe. That's all. Number one, the death zone is real. Number two, oxygen is all you need. Number three, beware of following the crowd. Beware of following the crowd. They've reported that one of the dangers of Everest is when there's a crowd approaching the summit. It's extremely dangerous. Beware of following the crowd. Because many people following the crowd have died. Why? Because you are not following your guide, your shepherd. You're not following. They're following your the crowd. And sometimes they lead to a slope, a slippery slope. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says that we should enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. Why? Because small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. You know, when you look at your life, you look at decisions you have to make. You see a broad way, then you see a narrow road in decision making. God says, follow the narrow road. That's the road to life. In spiritual things, that's the road to life. Following the crowd can cost your crown. You will not lose your crown in the name of Jesus. You will not follow the crowd in the name of Jesus. You know, it's so pathetic sometimes the way people just like to follow the crowd without thinking for themselves. Just want to follow the crowd. And many people won't admit that they are following the crowd. But if you pay attention to your decision making, you will see that many times you follow the crowd. One thing you need to realize is that majority may not make it. Majority may not make it, but you will make it in the name of Jesus. So don't measure your climb by their pace, because majority will not make it anyway. Don't measure your climb by their pace. When we look at or we arrange our lives by what is popular, what is trending, what is glamorous, we should pause and check. Are we following the crowd? Are we following the crowd? Why? Because the road to glory is narrow. It's not popular. It's narrow. So number one, the dead zone is real. Number two, God's presence is everything. Number three, beware of following the crowd. And number four, the descent matters as much as the ascent. And that is, this is very tricky because we focus mostly on the ascent. However, when you've attained that height, the descent is as crucial as the ascent. Do you know, statistically, for Everest, more people die on the way down than on the way up. I mean, that is just mind-boggling. They've suffered, they've prepared for 360 days, they've climbed for 60 days, they've attained the height, maybe they've taken some selfies, they've seen the view, their approaching has been changed. You see, one thing about height is like, you know, many times when we attain a height, we want to pitch a tent. But God, many times, does not want us to pitch our tent. You know why? Because attaining the height does something in you. You become a different person. You become a conqueror. So when you go down the mountain, you are going as a conqueror. The peak goes with you. The apex goes with you. The summit goes with you. And that is so powerful because many times we just want to pitch our tent at the summit. Meanwhile, God is saying, what I have done in you is needed in the valley. Mount of Transfiguration, for instance. Peter, James, John followed Jesus there. They had a summit experience. They said, oh God, let's pitch a tent. We'll build 10 for you. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We, your boys, don't worry about it. We don't need tent. We'll be my guard outside here. They didn't take tent for themselves. We want to pitch our tent. But Jesus says, no. This transfiguration that has happened, I'm taking it to the people. So the mountaintop experience is an experience that changes you. And you bring it to your situations. You bring it to life. You bring it to people's lives. You bring it to people's situation to help people, to take people to the next level, to help the person that wants to climb. You are able to say, this is how to do this climb. Mountaintops, when the summit is attained, the descent is next. And the descent is as crucial as the ascent. Like we said, more people die on the descent. Isn't that the case? Even in real life. More people have attained a height. They are more susceptible to falling. You know why? Because there's this sense of invincibility. If you've not had that sense, that feeling, maybe you've not attained much height, but you will attain a height. You attain your height in the name of Jesus. When you attain a height, you have this false sense of invincibility. We are the ones that have climbed Everest. Oh, how many people here have climbed Everest? You know. I'm not saying that. I'm not asking question right. I'm just saying that. The arrogance sometimes and pride goes before a fall. You get married. You look at everybody else that's yet to be married. You look at them as if something is wrong with them. Be careful. Be careful. You are doing well financially. You look at other people as if they are lazy. Be careful. Be what? Be careful. Be careful. When it appears that you have reached the top, watch out for the descent. Watch out for the descent. Why is it necessary? It's necessary because you will finish strong in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That is God's heart and mind for you. Finishing is greater than starting. Finishing is greater than starting. Hebrews 10:38 says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. So, the summit is not the end. The summit is actually the halfway mark. The summit is the halfway mark. It's not the end. When you get to the summit, you still have the descent. So many people, you have attained a financial summit. You are just halfway. You are just halfway. There is another half that is before you, and you will land safely in the name of Jesus. Remember, the mountain does not leave you. The mountain, that peak does not leave you. You go with it and you will land well in the name of Jesus. So don't just rise in faith. You have to remain in faith. You have to remain in faith. The descent matters as much as the ascent. So Everest reminds us that it's not just about reaching the height. It's about returning transformed. Returning transformed. God has doors to higher ground open to you. You will attain them in the name of Jesus. God Himself will strengthen you in the name of Jesus. God Himself will empower you in the name of Jesus. God Himself will make your feet like the hind's feet, and you will ride upon your high places in the name of Jesus. Every detractor will be shamed and nullified in your life in the name of Jesus. Every naysayer will be ashamed in the name of Jesus. The things that eyes have not seen, God will do in your life. The things that ears have not heard, God will manifest in your life. The things that have not begun to enter into the hearts of men, God will manifest in your life. And so it is and shall be. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. So I want to pray with you. If you are here, you are saying, Pastor, but I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to come to God. Wherever you are, I want to pray with you. Say, Pastor, that is me. Wherever you are, you're like, I used to be with God. I'm far from God. Can I come back to? Yes, you can. We want to pray with you. Wherever you are, put up your hand now over your head. Shoot it up as we turn it over to the RP.
So just raise up that hand very boldly. Raise it up above your head. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Thank you very much, my brother, for being very confident. My sister, if you are raising up that hand, raise it up above your head. Above your head, so that we can see. We want to pray with you. It's a bold decision that you have made today, that you need to make today. I want to encourage you to be bold, to be strong, to be bold, to rise up, to climb Everest. Requires boldness. So if you are raising up your hand, raise it up very well above your head. If you have received the card, you can put it down. We'll pray together. But if you still want to make that decision right now, just raise up your hand above your head. If you are online, information should be scrolling right now. But I want to encourage you specifically, those of you that are here, take that decision right now. The decision to walk with God, to follow God. It's a once-in-a-lifetime decision. And we're giving you that opportunity today. Draw closer to God. God will draw closer to you. So I'm making that final call. You're here, you want to give your life to Christ. Or peradventure, you know that your walk with God is just up today, down tomorrow. But you want to rededicate your life. You can also raise up your hand. You have that chance now also to realign yourself with God. Just raise up your hand and we'll pray together. God bless you. Yes, thank you very much for that hand at the back there. That's boldness. That's boldness. You want to be bold and make that decision. There's nothing to be ashamed about. We all that are here that are saved, we at one point in time will make this decision. It's your time today. It's your time to climb your mountain. It's your time to go to the summit. Make that first step by just raising up your hand. And you'll see how you'll be able to take the entire journey. If you've made that decision, I want you to just join me, putting your hands on your chest, and we'll pray together now. I want you to just say after me and say, Father, I thank you for my life. Thank you for all that you are set to do in my life. Today, I come before you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for me, and I confess that you are my God. From today onwards, let my life be transformed. Today, God, as I take this decision to walk with you, help me, strengthen me. I will not go back again. I've decided today to follow you, and follow you I will, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you once again for your word. Thank you for your children that have decided to follow you. We are grateful. From the bottom of our hearts, we say, Father, thank you, Lord. We pray that, Lord Almighty, as they've made this decision, Lord, to follow you today, Lord, you will lay your hands of protection upon them. You lay your hands of guidance upon them. They will not drift away from you in the mighty name of Jesus. And as many as are here also, already committed, dedicated to you, you will strengthen us, O God. You will take us to higher grounds, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Honor and glory we give to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's put our hands together for the Lord.